You know, when you're hungry, that persistent feeling happens, and when you're hungry, you just got to eat. But you know, with hunger, there comes a time when you're so hungry, you're not hungry anymore. Do you know that? That's an amazing thing. You're just so hungry, you're just over it. And so the hunger comes back. And such is the way with emotions, things that come into our life that come and go. Anger is one of those things. It's like jealousy. Why would you be jealous of somebody else? They've achieved something that they've struggled for their entire life. And if they, even if they didn't and they passed it on to their kids, wouldn't you do the same? Why would you be jealous of this? It doesn't even make any sense, you know? Why would you be jealous that a person does better than you? Right? I mean, you think that you deserve more than that person? I mean, I don't understand some of the emotions that we have, but God knows they're here, and we have to deal with them. We can't act like they don't happen. When you're hungry, you don't act like you're not hungry, you know? Well, Thanksgiving. I mean, everybody loves Thanksgiving. You're like, no, I'm not hungry. I'm not, you know. You even eat when you're not hungry. You know, on Thanksgiving, you eat, you go sit down, you're so full that you can barely get off the couch. And you know what you do? You go back again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go back to eat pie. And you know that the food is right here. I mean, you literally cannot take another bite. I don't understand what drives us and makes us do things that we know we shouldn't do. I don't understand. I mean, we can give you easy answers. It's the flesh, you know, where the flesh is weak. But I'm talking about, we know the right answers, but we do things that are wrong, and I don't understand. Anger is one of these things that come into our life that everybody deals with. I don't care if you're rich or poor, where your social class is, anything about you, where you grew up, you're going to have to deal with anger in some form. Genesis 27:45, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him, then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of both in one day? One of the earliest things we see about anger in Scripture is we in time forget why we are angry, but we hold on to that anger. You ever done that? You ever ask, I remember asking my grandmother, and God love her, she's gone on, but I remember she got mad about something. I remember having this conversation, and it's been so long ago, even I can't remember, but she was angry with someone, a neighbor, I don't remember all the specifics, but I remember what I'm about ready to tell you. She was angry with a neighbor, angry with a pharmacist, or angry with somebody, okay? And when I asked her, I said, she's like, no, I don't go around them. I don't like them. They're not good people, whatever. She said she was angry. And I said, why? And she said, just because. I don't want to talk about it. And so I asked my dad, and you know what his answer was? She doesn't remember. But she was still angry. Tell me how that makes any sense at all. This is what anger does to you. It digs into you and doesn't want to let go. And you know what? Somewhere in our minds, our life, how we do things, we like that. Otherwise, if we didn't like it, we would do something about it. There's something about anger that makes us feel good. That's almost insane to say, isn't it? This shows us anger will consume and not produce desirable results. The things that come from anger are bitterness, contempt, and destruction. When summertime comes, I like to lay in the sun. I like to be around the pool. I like to lay in the sun. I like to get a little bit of a tan on me, you know. I think, personally, I look a little better with a little color to my skin. But you know what? I shouldn't do it. You know why? Because it's going to produce undesirable results. You know what those results are? Skin cancer, right? Skin cancer. Because see, your skin soaks up the radiation. And unlike a lot of things in your life, when it soaks up the radiation, it's like a sponge. And when you know what happens when a sponge gets so full, it won't soak up anymore. And that's what skin cancer is. Your body can't handle the radiation from the sun because it's cumulative. It means it builds up and builds up to the point where it's done. And that's why when you're younger, which we didn't know this when I was younger, when you were younger, you should have put on sunscreen. I don't even remember hearing sunscreen when I was a kid, right? I don't even remember those words. But now it's pretty normal, you know? But then we didn't know. So the damage is done when we're a kid. And I never understood that. But the reason was it was done when we were a kid is because our body soaked up all that radiation when we were a kid. And that's where the damage is done. Because as we get an adult and we understand, our body's almost full. It can't take anymore. We did all that when we were a kid. Now we know, so there's no excuse. I lay in the sun now as an adult knowing what's happening to me, right? It's going to produce undesirable results. But yet, anger, we know, is going to produce bitterness in us. It's going to produce contempt in us and destruction. And yet, we still play games with it, right? It knocks on the door, and it says, somebody knocked at the door, honey. And you go say, okay. You open it up, and it says, oh my gosh, it's anger. And then you say, you know what? My wife's here. Will you come back later? And you shut the door. Right? Because nobody wants to know that we like anger that much, that we're going to play around with it. So we tell it to come back later. Deuteronomy 6:15, for the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord your God be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth. Anger, when it comes upon God, just see here that it does, will cause him to destroy from the face of the earth. So what do you think it's going to do to you? If it's going to come to a point, if anger is going to bring God to a point where he will destroy from the face of the earth, what do you think it's going to do to you? Even God does not want to hold on to his anger. I meant to mark this. It's Deuteronomy. Hold on. Oh my God. There we go. Deuteronomy 13:17. Even God does not want to hold on to his anger. 13:17, he says, so none of the accursed things shall remain in your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy, have compassion on you, and multiply you just as he swore to your fathers. God understands what anger is going to do to you, but he wants to turn away from that anger, and he wants to turn away from that anger. And he wants to have mercy and forgiveness. Is that what we want when we have that kind of anger? We may want it for ourselves, right? We don't want things held against us because we have pretty good reason why we did it. Or we cry and we say we're sorry. But God knows what anger will do. And so he says he wants to turn from his fierce anger. And he wants to show mercy, forgiveness, and kindness. I remember, I told you the reason that I was going over this is because of anger issues that I know that I have, and I'm looking for answers to push these things and settle these things and work on these things, and the answers that I come up with in Scripture really don't make things any easier for me. I see what anger will do to me. I see what God says it'll do to him. I see what his answer is. He wants to turn from his anger. How do you do that? How are you God and you come to a place where you want to destroy everything that you have created and turn from it? Let me tell you something. If God can do that, you better think about what you're doing to solve your anger issues. Right? Me. God turned from his fierce anger to destroy every living thing on the earth. How did he do that? It's a twofold answer, and I think one of them we already know. We've talked about forgiveness, but there's another answer that's out there. Huh? One day, his anger will be poured out, and it'll be done with. You know why God can let go of his anger? Because he knows one day, he can pour it out, and it'll be over with. So what is God doing? He's waiting. And he's asked you to trust him with your anger. That's what he's asked you to do. You trust him with salvation, right? You trust that when you die, that you're going through these steps. You're coming to church. You're giving your tithes. You're taking grape juice and you're eating a bread that was made wherever, and these are symbolic of the body and blood of Christ. You're reading a book that has been written over thousands of years by different men, and you believe that God is going to save your soul. You believe in that Jesus raised from the dead. But you can't trust Him with your anger. You trust Him with your life, but you can't trust Him with your anger. Easier said than done, isn't it? Nehemiah 9:17, but you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. These are the things that Nehemiah said about God. Now remember, this is a God that knows His anger is going to be poured out. This is a God that knows the fierceness of wrath, and He says that He is ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, and He is slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. If you look up anger in the Old Testament, you will see what arouses the fire of the Lord every time is turning to false gods. Trusting in someone else. And I tell you, that person that you're trusting in with your own anger is you. And that makes God mad. That's God's job. He's already told you that. He's told you, and you even proclaim it, that the day of judgment, the day of the Lord is coming. Repent, for the end is near. And you know what that end is? That's the wrath of God being poured out. And you think your wrath, your anger towards something is greater? You know what the wrath of God is? It's all of these things stored up that you have trusted Him with. That's where the anger comes from. It's not just that God's mad. It's that God's upset because you're upset. And you are trusting Him to take care of it. And He is not going to let you down. When is He ever? Easier said than done, though, right? You get mad. Hold a grudge. Mad right now. Mad right now. I'm talking and I'm saying this. I'm mad right now about something in my life. But here you see, even in the face of such, I want us to understand this, even in the face of such blatant rebellion, if you look up Israel, they were constantly turning away to false gods. The judge would raise up, and Gideon delivered the Israelites out of the hands of the, I don't guess it matters, the Midianites. He delivered the kingdom of Israel from the Midianites, and Gideon, there was peace in the land. And then when Gideon died, you know what they did? They did not show kindness to the house of Gideon before what he had did, and they went back to the Ashtoreth poles and serving false gods and Baal immediately. Oh my gosh. And if you read through the Old Testament, and people say that, oh, if I could just be like the Jews, if you just bring back the law, they had all this, and look what they did. Constantly. Blatantly turning away from God. Constantly. Read it. Read the Old Testament. Good, bad, good, bad. Kind of like our life, right? One day we do good because we feel godly, and the next minute we just want to be a real jerk, you know? We want to hold on to that anger. We want to be the tough guy, right? We don't want to forgive anybody. We don't do anything, right? In the face of such blatant rebellion, I want us to understand, when we confess our sins to God and seek His forgiveness, He's ready to forgive. He knows you know you did wrong. And chances are He knows you're going to do it again. I mean, there's just some things we really, really struggle with, correct? And so in the face of all of this, He still is ready to forgive you. How does He do that? Because He knows in one day that there'll come a day that He will pour out His wrath. But He doesn't think about that right now. Right now He's focused on forgiveness. He's focused on forgiveness, salvation, giving people a chance. If we want to kindle the fire of anger in ourselves, we must also see a need to forgive. You ever been mad at your kids? I mean, really mad at your kids. And then you forgave them. Why? Why? Why did they get forgiveness and the other person didn't? Why? Why do they get chance after chance but the other person doesn't? Why do you do that? It's why God forgives us. It's because we listen, we learn, and we move forward. So when you have anger in your hearts, understand that there is a need for that anger to be forgiven. That's what God does. God is angry, and this is how He handles it. Or do you know better than God? Do we think that we can work out a solution that's better than God? A lot of people do. But those aren't the people sitting here looking for an answer today. The reason we can't let anger go is because we're not willing to forgive. And that's an easy statement. But what we really want is accountability. We want to see those people held accountable for what they did. That's what we want. Okay? That's why we hold on to that anger. Because it feels good to see somebody get what they deserve. Unless, of course, it's us. Right? Unless it's us, right? We want to see accountability. Don't you know that when you preach the day of the Lord that there's a day of accountability coming? Look to that day. And you say, well that's not Christian-like. How long, O Lord, holy and true? Revelation 6, I think. Near the end of the chapter, and he says, how long, O Lord, holy and true, before you avenge our blood on the earth? And he said, I will. He said, but wait just a little while. Here's a white robe. You see? He didn't ever say that he wasn't going to avenge your blood. The vengeance that you want, God will give tenfold to the point where you will cringe in horror and want him to stop. That's why there's tears before God wipes them away on the new heaven and new earth because of the great and terrible day of the Lord. You have no idea the wrath of God and what it's going to do to the adversary. And the best thing that you can do right now is forgive them. That's almost like trying to eat okra. You ever ate okra? It's terrible, man. Slimy. It's just terrible, I guess. Right. That's the point. God knows what that day is coming. God knows of the fierceness of His wrath. That's why today He is able to forgive. Because He wants as many people to be sheltered and pulled from that day of wrath. We only know what our anger will bring and what bombs and destructions of cities and stuff. We have no idea about the destruction that's coming on the day of judgment. We want accountability, but not for ourselves, right? We want to see people get what they want, what they deserve, but we don't want to see ourselves do that because we got a real good reason. We want mercy. Then let's do what God would do. Let's be willing to show mercy. I don't have the answer to how you make that switch in your mind. But if you want them to be held accountable, look at the day of judgment and realize that it's coming. You trust that that day is coming. We preach it. We teach it. We believe it. So let your anger be pushed away until that day. And I guarantee you, when you're on that day, it will not be anger that you feel. You will be justified. He will be justified. Job 9:13, God will not withdraw His anger. The allies of the proud lie prostrate beneath Him. The proud do not forgive, nor do they seek the forgiveness of God. Do you want to be one of them? He does not forgive the proud because the proud does not look for forgiveness. The proud does not want forgiveness. And God will not withdraw His anger from those type of people. You want to be one of them? I don't. But I have been. Have I ever exalted myself above someone else? Shamefully, yes. And now when I catch myself doing it in the slightest way, I just ask for God's forgiveness. And I say, I don't know what possessed me to do that or say that. Forgive me. Our anger tricks us into believing we have a stronger case against another person than God has against us. I think that speaks for itself. This is my last slide. Luke 23:33-34. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified Him, and the criminals on the right and on the other one on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided His garments and cast His lots. Do you see any reason here why Jesus should have been angry? Well, He didn't do anything wrong. They jerked Him out of His house. All He did was want to tell about how great His parents were, right? And I'm trying to put that in a context that we can understand. We tell people how great our life is, how great our parents are, all these things, and they say, you're an evil person, and they pull you out, and they beat you, and they smack you, and they say, stop talking about your parents, right? Stop talking about God. Don't teach in the name of Jesus. And so they crucified Him between two thieves. See, Jesus looked like just another thief up there to the world. Just another liar who claimed to be God. That's all He looked like. He looked like just one of the normal people of the world. And for the people looking at Him, they couldn't tell the difference. But God could. And so they cast lots for His garments. You know, the depictions that we see of Christ on the cross, it's PG. Because it has his undergarment. We'd call it an underwear. I don't think they had underwear in the term. Yeah, they took that from Him. He was hanging there naked. Is that what you want? How would you feel to be paraded around in front of people naked when you talked about the power of God and people laughed at you? You know, Scripture says God help me, I don't know if it was Isaiah or Proverbs or Psalms, but He said, I looked around for someone to show me mercy, for someone to show me kindness, and there was no one. That makes me sad. He looked around for someone to help Him, and there was no one. And so, we can definitely see that Jesus had a reason to be angry. And so when He asked this, He just wanted to make sure that when He went out of this world, there was no anger in His heart, because He had a reason to be angry. But it's not that He was giving up that anger. I want us to understand that. It's not that He didn't think that these people deserved to be punished. They did. That was coming. But what He wanted to do in the face of that was to forgive. And He said, Father, if I don't hold this against them, don't You hold it against them. Give them a chance. And that's exactly what they did. What He did. He gave them a chance through Christ. Jesus was crucified as just another man among many, but He was not. You are being seemingly having this anger as if you are somebody greater than the other person. Remember where Christ was. He wasn't perceived as someone greater, but he was. Don't let your anger bring you down to a place where you're not, where you shouldn't be. You see, God sees us as someone worth redeeming. Don't prove Him wrong by holding on to your anger, because Jesus didn't. Do you think Jesus was angry for how all these things transpired, thinking of what could have been? Do you think that Jesus would have thought, and this was in the garden struggling with the flesh, do you think that that Jesus would have thought that He could have taught and all the things that as He saw men coming to Him and He saw things getting better and saw the power of God going forth, even though the crowds were getting smaller, He saw that that lives were being changed. All of this played into Father, forgive them, because in the flesh there was many reasons that we have. So don't think that because you have reasons that you're justified. I can't. Jesus didn't justify Himself with the reasons He had. James 1:19 through 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. If you want to accomplish dealing with your anger, letting your anger take control of you is not the way to do it. It's not going to produce what was produced in Christ. Do you understand that? Christ would not have said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do, if He would have let His wrath overtake Him. He wouldn't have produced that. The anger of man, your anger, will never produce what God is trying to produce in you. It is. But understand that you...
How, you know, He could resist more than we could because we're human. But He is of God. I mean, He's like...
Well, that's an easy argument that people go to, but I want you to understand that as a Christian, as a forgiven man, you also have God living in you, the Holy Spirit. So you have the power that Jesus had to overcome the flesh. The choice to do it God's way or do it your way. Sometimes we choose anger over forgiveness. That's just what we do. I don't know why. But remember, I told you I don't know why. I don't have answers to everything. I've got God's answers, but I'm smart enough to know that I'm not doing what God wants me to do. If I was, I'd be producing what He wanted, not what I wanted. But sometimes we want that anger over forgiveness because we seek that accountability, because it's like honey in our mouth, right? That's what we want. We want satisfaction. Yeah, and it's easier to do it and seek forgiveness later. Beg for forgiveness. What this verse is showing us, be like God, willing to forgive. How does He do this, okay? If we want to be like God and we say we're Christians and we're serving God, at least be willing to forgive. At least put that on the table. You may struggle with it, but I'm telling you, sometimes you don't even put it on the table. That's the problem. We want that anger because we seek that accountability. You did wrong and I want to see you pay for it. I want to see you squirm and I might even want you to apologize to me. Well, you know what? It's a hard place to come to realize that you will probably never get an apology from the people who owe it to you the most. You just won't. It's okay. Forgive them. Forgive them. How does He do this? How is He willing to forgive? We don't want to let our anger go until we see accountability. God knows there's a day of accountability coming. That's why He can forgive. That's why you can forgive. Because the anger that you want, the accountability you want to see, by God in heaven, you're going to see it. You just won't see it today. And you work for the day when you can go get you another car, or you can get a pool put in, or you can get a new air condition put in, or you need a roof on. We understand that things can't happen immediately. God's not saying, let the anger go and don't worry about it again. God says, understand that there's a day of accountability coming. He said, and the best thing that you can do is to work to seek forgiveness of those that have troubled you or that you have troubled. He says, because when that day comes, there will be no stopping it. And I believe we're going to be crying out for that to be stopped. Or our mindsets are going to be so different that we're going to see. But either way, there is going to be a terrible awe of the anger of God. We're not going to believe what we're seeing. You know, because everybody that's not forgiven and doesn't seek forgiveness, they're not, all those people aren't enemies. Some of those people are very close to us. And we're going to be very sad on that day. So for everybody that you are angry with and you want accountability, they are the most important people to somebody. And on Judgment Day, they will be crying for them. Acts 5:30 through 31 is my last scripture. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to the right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. I don't think we really understand the word repentance. If someone has repented and asked forgiveness for God, God help you if you hold that sin over their head. I don't think we understand the word repentance. And I want us to see what that word means. Repentance means doing a terrible wrong where there is no excuse. Do you understand that? When we ask God for repentance, it's because we've done something that is wrong and we have no excuse for doing it. And that's why you're angry with these people. They've done it and they should know better, and there's no excuse for them to treat me that way. But repentance is giving forgiveness for that, even though there's no excuse for the blatant anger and hatred that they directed towards you. That's what He constantly did for Israel. That's what repentance means. And that's what this says, is that God has exalted to His right hand Jesus to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. That's how you forgive. You understand. See, because what you're looking for, you're trying to think about it in a man's way. You're trying to think why this person should be offered forgiveness. But in man's thinking, there's no reason that he should be offered forgiveness, because he knew he was doing wrong. He knows he's lying when he says it. And he knows what he's doing is wrong, and he doesn't care. But God looks at you and says all those things, and He says, yet I will forgive anyway. And that's how God overcomes His wrath. That's how God waits for the day of judgment. Because He forgives where there's no reason to forgive.
So when you were to be right about something, or to correct something that is wrong from someone else, then you still have to be non-judgmental. Like, for example, you know, all the transsexuals in schools,
well, I think that anger is produced in us, and I think that there's a righteous anger. Jesus, don't forget that Jesus did overturn the money tables. Jesus did look at the apostles and say, how long am I going to put up with you? Are you so dull that you can't even hear what I'm telling you? He got angry. But what we don't want is for that anger to take control of our life. We have to realize that our anger will be satisfied. What I'm asking you to do is you take your anger, you bring it to Jesus, and you look and say, I'm going to trust in you to satisfy my anger. I'm going to trust in you to make this right. And how I'm going to do that is I'm going to seek in my life to find forgiveness. I'm going to fight for forgiveness, because there's no reason for me to forgive. I don't want to forgive, but I'm going to seek for forgiveness in my life. And that's how I'm going to show you, because this is what you've asked, how I trust that you're going to take care of my anger. All these things that we think are wrong and that we try to fight against, God will take care of one day, that day of judgment. But we have to show Him that we are willing to sacrifice for Him. We have to show Him that we're willing to do something that He's willing to do. Repentance means that you're going to offer forgiveness for somebody who doesn't deserve it. You can't undo what's been done, can you? Can you go back and change it? So you have to deal with it. And you can't act like it didn't happen. When you're hungry, you don't act like you're not hungry. You can't act like it did happen. You can't act like that you're happy in the Lord when you're not happy in the Lord. Ask yourself, God, why? You say I'm supposed to be happy. Why am I not happy? What am I doing wrong? You think you're the only person that's ever asked that question? I'm supposed to be happy, but I'm not. Why? Isn't God worth forgiving another? He looked at you and thought you were worth forgiving. I know my heart. I know the things that have passed through my mind, and I know the things that I've laid my hands against, and I know when I've come to the realization that I can't do this. This is not the person I want to be. I wouldn't forgive me. I wouldn't. I lied to people that I love. I stole from people that I love. I abandoned people that I love. I did what was right for me, not for them. I wouldn't forgive me. Somehow God said, I will. I will. I get angry. I get real angry. And I think the pinnacle of anger is holding a grudge. I think that's where anger becomes something that becomes a stumbling block to us, is where we hold a grudge. And a grudge means we're not willing to forgive. So God can deal with anger. But I think when it gets to being a grudge, that's a very dangerous place to be in your life. And I was a grudge holder. And so when I find myself approaching that level of anger, I become scared. Because now I'm scared that I'm going to anger God. That's the answer here. Do you want to hold on to your anger for another and not forgive? You have every right. You really do, because some of this anger that they do, they didn't have a right to do anything. But I just want you to understand that you come to a place where you will find yourself angering God. Are you willing to do that? Or are you willing to think, you know what? If it's angering you or offering forgiveness, I'm more scared of angering you than I am of what it will do for me to try to offer that forgiveness. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and he preached that first gospel sermon, that was a difficult thing to do. He angered a lot of people. But I think that he cared more of what God wanted at that moment than he did about himself. And so that's where we have to come to. That's maturity. That's where we grow. That's where the Spirit comes into our life and starts taking control and showing us truth. And only you can handle what these words do to you in your life. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. That's God living in you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If you think Jesus was God and you thought it was easier for Him, you know what? You have God living in you too now. As a repentant, immersed believer in Christ, you have God living in you now. So you have the same strength that Jesus had. What are you going to do with it? What's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like You. Change my heart, O God. change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
You are the